should have died out a long time before. Have pity on a dinosaur. Hand me my hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show, Lift and Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Coming up in about an hour, Paul DeMarco, columnist for the Trestle Tribune, wants to do a kind of a legislative wrap-up, and we're happy to oblige. Very interesting always with him. And then John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, in that 11 o'clock block. So please stick around for that. But joining us now, always very, very kind to make time for this program and very appreciative of it, State Senator David Sessions is on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm very well. Thank you.
Yeah, as we were talking off air, you probably feel a little bit of a reprieve coming out of your thoughts, but it in some ways is a very gripping session, but also a very draining one.
It was, but, you know, it's part of the job. So, you know, we tackled some very controversial stuff early on, and, you know, the opposition uses the rules that they're allowed to use to delay and try and get their point across. So it just made it a stressful and kind of a seemed like a long session, but no longer than any other.
No, I you're right, but it just, you could feel the tension this time when just walking around the building, and it felt a little more chaotic at times as people were trying to figure out what was going on. But normally, like these sessions, Senator, you've been down in the House, you've been in the Senate, you kind of get a read on the room, and you just felt, I don't know, anxious is the word or what, but it seemed that way to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was. You know, like I said, though, we've had some of these before, but probably not quite as stressful, seemed like.
Well, and we'll get to you, we'll ask you to come on about it in just a minute, but do you feel good about the end product here overall?
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, like you got your work done?
I feel satisfied. I do. Of course, realize I was really interested in the property tax cap legislation, and then I had a seafood labeling bill that had came out of the House that I'd had companion bills on, and I was really interested in those and was able to get both of them the second to the last day. So, up until that point, I had felt a pretty good bit of pressure all year.
Well, it got done as a credit to you, but the one that's really, obviously the seafood one is important to our listeners, but the one I think around the state people are really talking about is this property tax cap, ultimately settling on 7%. I know you went into it wanting a little bit of a lower cap, but at least it got done. Walk us through that and how you got to where you got to that 7% number.
Yeah, well, I've got to give Representative Pettus most of the credit. He did the yeoman's work in the House. He got it to a point where he could get it to us. There was a lot of pushback early on, a lot of misinformation coming out of certain groups. Jeff, I always kind of, I guess, wrong analogy, but, you know, I think anytime you're talking about taking someone's cookie out of their cookie jar, they get a little protective of it. And, I was certainly looking at the folks that were putting those cookies in that jar. That's who I was trying to represent in this. And, our taxpayers needed a little bit of a relief. Property taxes have just been escalating at way too fast of a pace. I felt like it was something that we needed to get done. And, we tried to amend it late in the Senate on the floor, but it was just not agreed to. And it was just one of those things where we wasn't going to be able to, get that done in a timely manner. you know, end of the session, bills were stacked up behind me. So when I saw a path to get it passed at the at what the House had sent us, we basically passed it as they had sent it to us.
Well, and you know, Senator, the whenever something like this comes, you know, along and you hear, well, it was funny to watch because it was this and then the tax increase on the internet sales tax the Big Ten were pushing. But, like, all of a sudden you started hearing, well, Alabama's a low-tax state and we need more taxes in Alabama. And it's the right way to go. And I always find that line of criticism very strange. Number one, because they think they're going to win over, but – Were you surprised at the pushback, the way, I don't know what, I don't know if I were trying to oppose this, what I would say, but that was one of the lines of criticism.
Yeah, it was. And you know, we're fortunate in Alabama that we do have some low taxes, but we're not by no means the lowest. You know, we get a tax fact booklet every year, and we're usually in the middle of the road, 24, 26, as far as taxes, overall taxes go. So, you know, I think we're okay. And as far as property taxes go, you know, I don't know, realize that our per parcel is on up there pretty good. It's not, you know, we've got some high dollar properties that bring in a lot of tax revenue, especially as you know, down here on the coast and Baldwin County and, you know, Dolphin Island, Longmobile Bay. And, you know, you've got a lot of commercial property in these areas that are bringing in a lot of money. So, you know, I think there's a little misconception as to, you know, it's our taxes within the state of Alabama.
Well, and over here on the Eastern Shore is like a double whammy, you know, while the market's cooled off because of interest rates and whatnot. I mean, it's still – property values are still on the rise, and then you throw in an inflationary sort of situation, and you're really getting these like massive property tax increases. Like it's just whatever you voice your displeasure, you just kind of get a shrug. You know, like what are we supposed to do about it?
Right, and I think, you know, this gives it on an even keel. You know, that's not to say that property taxes. Reappraisals couldn't go down. You know, they may go down in a year or two. It's certainly happened before. I don't foresee it in the real near future, but, you know, things cycle and, you know, but there's only so much property available. And, that's just the nature of real estate. And, you know, and here's the thing too, the bill did not prohibit the capture of any new sale or any new construction. I mean, that was captured at the current value. So we weren't hurting these counties and cities nearly what they were projecting that we were hurting. I would love to have a 7% increase on my income on my agriculture business. I would love to know that I was going to get a 7% increase or any increase for that fact, I would be happy. You know, business does, we don't have that protection, that's for sure. And it wasn't a cut. It was just strictly a cap on how much it could go up.
Joined by State Senator David Sessions here on the program. You mentioned the seafood labeling bill brought by, I guess, downstairs by Chip Brown. You got it through in the Senate. How long have we been trying to do something like this? It seems like for a while in Alabama, and I, you know, kind of being in the hallways, hearing people that were there to work against it was surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little disheartening, you know, when unfortunately most of our folks were putting profits above, you know, people's health and their, you know, basically right to know what they're eating. I mean, I want to know if my shrimp is Gulf shrimp. I'm like Gulf of Mexico shrimp. You know, and if I'm eating catfish, I want to know that it's either Mississippi or Alabama catfish. I don't want to eat, you know, Asian sway. So I felt like that was the right thing to do, and I was glad we were able to get something done, you know. And it, you know, I don't think it hurts them. I think if they advertise that they're selling local stuff, it actually would help their business, you know. So they have to pay a little more for it, but I think they could probably get a little more out of it.
Yeah, the Asian sway stuff, I mean, the way it's ray, I mean, there are no regulations. It's kind of scary in some ways.
It is. Full of chemicals, not really healthy. It's not, it wouldn't be good to be having a steady diet of that. Where, you know, our wild caught seafood and our catfish, there's never been an issue with any of the U.S. Seafood, whether it be freshwater catfish or our Gulf or Atlantic or Pacific. You know, we have good food, and unfortunately our shrimping industry is about gone by the wayside.
Well, one last thing I want to talk to you about, and you and I were talking about this during the hallway there, and it kind of really sounded some alarm bells in my head, but like the issues with inflation and sort of the Biden economy and the impact that you personally, but probably a lot of farmers in this state are feeling the brunt of it, that it's just becoming very cost prohibitive, right?
It is. You know, I made the comment in one of our ag committee meetings. We were discussing the medical cannabis license, and I basically was chastising some of the folks that were opposed to more license. I'm like, you know, I can't grow cotton anymore because I can't do it at a competitive, I can't make any money, so I'm having to quit growing cotton. So we won't have any cotton on our farm this year, first year probably since the late 80s, you know, that we have not planted cotton. And a lot of your row crops are like that. And it's not just here in the Southeast. I know our Midwest counterparts are having an issue even in the grains, because grain has gotten cheap and the expenses have gotten out of hand. They keep going up and our commodity prices are going down.
Well, and that's kind of a strange phenomenon. I know these acts of God and weather, and I mean, farming as an occupation is very unpredictable. But like you add on top of that, like, what's the disconnect here? Because instinctively, like, in this environment, if inflation is underway and all these input costs are more expensive, then shouldn't the prices on the market be going up as well?
You would think they would, but it just doesn't. And they're going to trim those commodity prices because they have higher input costs in other areas also. So, you know, it puts a more downward pressure on the commodity price when everything else goes up. I mean, fuel, you take the fuel cost is just astronomical now compared to what it was 3 years ago. And, you know, you put on top of that, you know, everything that's manufactured, it takes some type of energy, you know, and when energy costs are going up, so does all your parts and your labor goes up. And it's been a steady increase as far as labor costs. So, you know, it's just the economy has gotten bad in a short period. COVID was a small part of it, but I think the Biden administration's energy policy is the bigger part of it.
Well, in these high inflationary environments, I mean, is this typical or is this unlike anything you've seen? Because like I said, did this happen last time we had this inflation?
No, the last time this happened was in the Carter administration in the old, you're probably not old enough to remember. It may not even been born yet. Yeah. But in 1978, 79, when we had the oil embargo, everything went through the roof, and that was agriculture and manufacturing probably was, it's on that level now. That's where we're getting to. We're getting to the, unfortunately, Jimmy Carter economy.
Well, and
it was not a good time.
Well, and what do you think here? Long-term repercussions here. We'll get you out of here on this. But, I mean, are we going to see farmers start to kind of go away? I mean, they want to – it looks – you hear this all the time that they want to, like, really, like, centralize and everything. And there's a trend there, right? Like, it just for cost effectiveness.
It is. It's getting, you know, either you get bigger to survive or you find a niche and, you know, or you sell out. And, you know, unfortunately, we've got a lot of folks that either they're selling out or selling all their equipment and renting their land to someone else. And so you got farms getting larger and consolidating or, you know, a lot of land will be going out of production. The last few years, we've lost several million acres, and I'm sure that'll continue as a trend because more and more young people just can't, you just can't afford the equipment and the expense of getting into the business. So we're kind of a, you know, kind of a dying breed, so to speak.
Well, Senator, you're always welcome on the show. Thanks for making time for us, and let's talk again hopefully soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. Current State Senator David Sessions there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.